Our text this afternoon is the Word of God as summarized in Lord's Day 39 of the Catechism. Here we deal with the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. The Catechism explains that as follows. What does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all those in authority over me. Submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. After the ministry of the word, we'll sing from hymn 63, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we're going to study the fifth commandment together. And in a lot of ways, this one seems pretty straightforward. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. And the words themselves are certainly not hard to understand. But in our reading from Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul refers to this commandment in talking about the relationship between children and their parents. And once you look at it more broadly like that, it becomes a minefield. Parenting has always been a difficult job, but today it is more tricky than ever. You see, parents are being sabotaged by the media. You really don't have to go out of your way to find television shows and other forms of entertainment that portray parents, especially the father, as a blockhead. And some of us are even foolish enough to contribute to the sabotage by allowing that kind of garbage into our homes. Against that, the first four verses of Ephesians challenge us. The first four verses of Ephesians 6. This is a countercultural message, to say the least. At a time when children rule the home and parents try to be friends with them, our reading says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Obey them in the Lord. But these words are not only a challenge to us and our culture. You have to understand that this was challenging for the first readers too. You see, in Roman culture, children were expected to obey their parents, especially their fathers, unconditionally. The father had the ultimate say over his children, and there was no such thing as child and family services if things went wrong. The father's power was so wide-ranging that he could even sell his children into slavery if he wanted to, and there would be no one to stop him. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that every father used those powers. There were many fathers who had very good relationships with their children. But the expectation was always that there would be unconditional and immediate obedience, and the father's power was always there. Now, against that, our reading from Ephesians 6 shows that the gospel completely transforms this parent-child relationship. Because it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And in verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The Lord transforms every aspect of our lives, including the relationship between parents and their children. You see, their relationship plays out against the background of their shared covenant relationship. A relationship that they have in Jesus Christ. And that changes everything. So I preach to you the Word of God this afternoon under the theme, God grows our faith in community. Therefore, submit humbly and rule diligently. Before we get in any deeper, it would be helpful to take a step back for a moment. The fifth commandment is part of God's covenant law. The word covenant is a word that we use to describe our relationship with God. God comes to us, as he just did for little Joshua. He comes to us and he lays his claim on our lives. He gives himself to us and promises. But then as we grow into that relationship, he expects us to give ourselves to him. And one way that we give ourselves to him is by doing our very best to keep his law. Some people would say law keeping is legalism. No, it's not. That's not legalism. That's love. You see, if you love someone, you're going to do what pleases them. God loves his law, and so he is pleased when we love it too. The unregenerate do not love God, and so they cannot keep his law. That means that they are turned inwards. Ultimately, for the unregenerate, their lives revolve around themselves. But God's law comes to us in the covenant, and through his law, he draws us out. See, in the first commandment, he tells us to turn away from idols. In the second commandment, he tells us to turn towards himself. In the third commandment, he calls us to know him, to cherish his name. Then in the fourth, he calls us to take the time to reflect on that name. Those are all things that draw us out of ourselves, away from ourselves. And they all turn our focus from ourselves to God. And as soon as we do that, then we look around and we find that there are many other believers who have been called as well. So we find ourselves in a community of like-minded believers, a covenant community. The first place where you find this covenant community is in the home. And that changes how we understand the passage, the first passage that we read in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. That passage shows what the new covenant life in Christ looks like. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received, says Paul. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And so on. And all of these things are true of God's covenant people as a whole. And therefore, and this is the point that I'm making, therefore they are true first in the home. The home is a covenant community in miniature. Parents and children serve the same God together. But children do not know how to serve the Lord. They're born ignorant. That is why home is where covenant children are turned into disciples. And so, the fifth commandment is not just about submission. The fifth commandment is about discipleship. Now, if submission is about discipleship, then the implications are huge. Because then parents are honored not just for representing authority in general, but for representing God. And obedience is demanded not just to parents, but first and foremost to God. And that's why it says in Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Kids, are you listening? When you're being disobedient to your parents, you're not just being disrespectful to them. You're being disobedient to God. You're not just breaking house rules. You're breaking his covenant. And that is why disobedience to your parents is such a serious sin. You want to know what the Lord commanded his people to do with a son who persistently disobeyed his parents? In the Old Testament, the men of his town would take him outside and they would stone him to death. That's what happened to a disobedient son. You can read about that in Deuteronomy 21, verse 20. And that was not because he broke some house rules. That was because he broke the covenant. And God takes his covenant very seriously. But the opposite of this is true as well. Because if you keep the covenant by obeying your parents, then God promises great blessings. Exodus 20 says, honor your father and your mother so that you may do what? so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. What does that mean? Well, the land that God was going to give to his people was the land of Canaan. And as some of you may remember from our studies in Genesis last year, the land was so important. Why? Because it represented fellowship with God. The land was their inheritance from God, and so it was a physical symbol of their relationship with God. So those who keep the covenant will live long in the land. That means that they will enjoy fellowship with the covenant God for a long time. And that's the real reason why long life in the land was considered such a blessing. It wasn't just because you could spend all of your time living in this paradise setting. It was because here was where you could live in fellowship with God, and that was what made it special. Now, by the time Paul wrote Ephesians, of course, things had changed quite a bit. The covenant was no longer restricted only to the Jews. Anyone could become one of God's people. The only criteria was faith, and then all of God's covenant promises would apply to them and to their children. But in order for those promises to unfold in the life of the children had to learn to be obedient. And then, says Paul in Ephesians 6, verse 3, then they will enjoy long life. That means they will enjoy life in the fullest sense of the word, life in fellowship with God. And that's why the term changes to enjoy long life on the earth instead of the land, because life is no longer restricted to the land of Israel, but now it can be lived out in all the earth. Those are the blessings that God promises to his young disciples. But discipleship is hard, because a family is not only a covenant community, it is also a community of sinners. Children, you are sinners, but so are your parents. Hard to imagine, maybe, but it's true. And the hard part of this discipleship is to submit to your parents when they sin against you, because they will. Your parents will, from time to time, make mistakes. They will speak in anger. They will say and do things that are unreasonable. Those are the consequences of the fall into sin, and that can be frustrating. And sometimes it isn't even outright sin, but it's simply unreasonableness. For example, they are too restrictive, and I'm talking especially to teenagers here. If you feel that your parents are too restrictive, then it can be really frustrating. You're moving towards adulthood, you want the independence to go with it, but they remember when you were still in diapers. It wasn't that long ago, and they're not that eager to hand over the keys to the family car to their baby. Many other examples could be mentioned. And sometimes there's good reasons for that. Sometimes parents are wise to hold on for a while yet. Their children mature at different rates. But sometimes they need to learn to let go. And when they don't, then they seem really unreasonable. And then how should you react? Well, see it as training in discipleship. Lord's Day 39 says that you need to have patience with their weaknesses and their shortcomings. Why? Since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. God is well aware of your parents' limitations, but he gave them to you anyway. You might choose your friends, but only God can choose your family. He chose to let you be born into this particular family with these particular parents, and he did that because he wanted to use them to train you in discipleship. He even does that through their mistakes and weaknesses. It might not always make sense when it happens, but it's true. God even trains you through their mistakes and weaknesses, because nothing happens outside of his providence. So he's using these situations to teach you things like patience, submission, love. And maybe sometimes you find it difficult to love your parents. If that's you, then that's something you need to pray about and pray for them, that God might give them what they need to deal with you wisely. And that goes for all of us, by the way. Lord's Day 39 speaks about those who are in authority over me. That goes beyond parents to include those with civil authority as well as those with spiritual authority, like your elders and your deacons. Sometimes consistory makes decisions, has to make decisions that you might resent. Did you pray about that? And are you praying for them? And if you aren't, then how do you expect your faith to grow? Boys and girls, sometimes your parents or teachers can frustrate you, and when they do, you're going to have to be patient with them. But you want to know something. The Lord knows exactly what you're going through. As a matter of fact, he went through it himself. Because don't forget, our Lord Jesus was a teenager too. His parents were imperfect too, just like yours. But like it says in Luke 2 verse 51, he was obedient to them. And that was a part of his work as a mediator. He did that for us. That was a part of his life of sacrifice. His covenant relationship with his father was a relationship of perfect obedience. And because of his obedience, we can have a relationship with God as well. And that relationship is bigger than your relationship with your parents, no matter what. Now, in that relationship, he calls you to submit to them out of reverence for him. So consider that your sacrifice to God. The fifth commandment is not just for children, though. It has something to say to parents as well. Parents, God gave life to this child through you. That means that you are God's delegate to this child here on earth. In order for your children to submit to you, and therefore to God, you need to rule over them. And that is very difficult to do in a culture that has given up the parental throne. It takes real courage nowadays to take your role as parents seriously. But you have to. Because the alternative is not freedom. The alternative is anarchy. It is having everyone do what is right in his own eyes because they are motivated by pure selfishness. And that, by the way, is a faint image of what hell is like. Hell is full of people who have turned away from God and are therefore turned completely inwards. The kind of life to which God calls us is completely different. It is a life of being turned away from ourselves, away from selfishness, and towards him. And that's what worship is. Worship is being turned towards God, and that is life in the covenant. Now, if life in the covenant is about being turned towards God, then it follows that our homes need to be oriented around him as well. And therefore, a home can never be centered on the children. To a lot of people today, this is a revolutionary concept. And maybe not to you because you were raised with this. You take it for granted, but actually, this is about as countercultural as you can get. A home can never be centered on the children. So many people lose sight of that today, even in Reformed circles. You find homes where parents don't live up to their covenant obligations. And instead of that, life is centered on the children. Here's where the phenomenon of helicopter parents comes from. Have you ever heard that term before, helicopter parents? They're called helicopter parents because they're always hovering above the lives of their children, waiting to come in at the least possible provocation and do something. These are the parents who will do anything for their kids. A 2009 Time magazine article by Nancy Gibbs put it this way. It says, quote, "We were so obsessed with our kids' success that parenting turned into a form of product development. Parents demanded that nursery schools offer Mandarin, since it's never too soon to prepare for competition in a global economy. High school teachers received irate text messages from parents protesting an exam grade before class was even over. College deans described freshmen as crispies who arrived at college already burnt out, and teacups who seemed ready to break at the tiniest stress." End quote. That's helicopter parenting. And Gibbs is exactly right. This is not parenting. This is product development, because a family life revolves completely around the child and around his or her success. There's an enormous pressure on the child to live up to this parental expectation. During the last few years, there's been a backlash against that kind of parenting, and now there's a growing grassroots movement of people who advocate a hands-off approach. And again, there's nothing new under the sun. Already back in 1918, D.H. Lawrence said the following. He said, "How to begin to educate a child? First rule, leave him alone. Second rule, leave him alone. Third rule, leave him alone. That's the whole beginning." He assumes that if you let the child find his own way, then he or she will be better off. But if you know your confessions, you know that this is just a disguised form of Pelagianism. Both of these approaches are wrong. Why? Because both, in the end, are child-centered, and life in the covenant is not child-centered, but God-centered. You see, the fact is that children need guidance. They're born sinners just like the rest of us. They're born into this covenant, but they have no clue what the covenant is. They need to grow into that relationship with God. So your job as parent is to nurture that relationship. And that becomes a matter of the heart. This is not just about altering behavior. It's easy to focus on behavior because it's so obvious. But the real question is, where is the behavior coming from? What's in the heart? Proverbs 20, verse 11 says that even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is good and right. You see, words and actions reveal what is in the heart, so you don't target only the actions, you target what is in the heart. If you target behavior without addressing the underlying issue of the heart, then you will create a hypocrite. Because he behaves one way, but believes something different. You'll create someone who does the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. Having said that, the way in which we address behavior can provide an avenue for addressing the heart. And sometimes parents need to punish their children. Parents may punish their children for one reason, and one reason only, to guide the child back to covenant keeping. They may never punish out of anger, and they may never punish because their rules were broken. Our reading is very clear on that. It says, Ephesians 6, verse 4, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." That means don't punish them in a way that is unjust. It can happen that parents lose their temper, and they take revenge on their children, and they humiliate the child, maybe even in front of his friends. You may never humiliate your child, because this is not just your child. This is God's child. This child belongs to Christ. This child bears the sign and seal of his covenant. So if you deal with your children unjustly, if you continue to exasperate them, you will hinder their relationship with God, and they will remain spiritually immature. Then you're hindering the work of God, who, in the words of Ephesians 4, wants us to reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So do not exasperate your children. Instead, it says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That means train them to obey him and teach them to love him. Easy to say, but difficult to do, isn't it? Considering how difficult it is to parent children, it's amazing that any of us turned out at all. But we did. And God saw fit to entrust many of us with children of our own. And that tells us something about the character of God. It tells us that despite our mistakes, he wants to continue showing his covenant love to the generations. God is gracious. He specializes in taking what is broken and sinful and turning it to his own purposes. That, by the way, is something to keep in mind if you have children who stray as well. Sometimes children grow up and they become covenant breakers anyway. That is very difficult for parents. Sometimes it is through no fault of the parent. They did their very best, but their child made a choice to leave anyway. Other times it is because of sinful behavior in the past, and that hurts even more. These children are now their own individuals, and they need to make their own choices, and sometimes their choices are influenced by choices that you made in the past. You can't undo that past, but you can ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive you if you acknowledge your sin. And if he brought you to repentance, then he can bring your children to repentance as well. It may take a lifetime of prayer, but he can do it. And then parents and children can meet each other at the foot of the cross. Ultimately, the foot of the cross is the only place where we can meet each other, regardless of who we are, because in the eyes of Christ, all of us are the same. Successful parents, unsuccessful parents, obedient children, rebellious children, none of us deserve the grace of God, but he gives it to us anyway. And he gives us to each other in one big family. He gives us a community. So live out your calling in that community. Grow in your faith, whether you are a parent or a child, and then work towards the day when we will all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen.